Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Well, how amazing was last month, ladies? How amazing was the launch of Sisters 2019 with the theme Imagine? I absolutely love that theme because there's so much that we can do with that theme. And Pastor Vilma introduced it with a really powerful message, shoot for the moon. And like she reminded us, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. And it really inspired me to make this a year where we're going to do a lot of things to look at our lives and to look introspectively to see what we can indeed do to shoot for the moon and to get to all that God has for us. Amen. And just so that you know, your Belito sisters and your Durban North sisters also had an incredible launch to Sisters 29, and they say hi to you tonight. They asked me to say hi, one big happy family. So this month, following along a similar thread, if we're going to shoot for the moon, as we've said this year, there's some things we're going to need to do, right, to get us ready and equipped for the exciting and amazing journey that God wants to take us on and for where God wants to take us to. And as we said last month, we looked at shooting for the moon, and what we looked at was reawakening forgotten dreams, reimagining, beginning to reimagine the things that as little girls we imagined, where we thought we could be anyone or do anything, we could conquer the world. But as time went on, somehow things whittled away at that sense of self-confidence and left us maybe with some broken or lost dreams, and we looked at rekindling those. And tonight we're going to look at another area that I believe we need to work on in order to help us to get to where God wants to take us. Are you ready? I've got quite a lot to share. I'm a girl with a lot of words, and I've really tried to cut this down. So let's just get right to it, okay? So the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, is going to be our focus tonight. And in this book of the Bible, we meet a man named, guess what, Ezekiel, whom God has chosen as a prophet. And maybe tonight you don't know what a prophet is, and that's okay. A prophet is a person who's been chosen by God to deliver a message from God to God's people. And in chapter 37, God takes Ezekiel in a vision, in other words, in his mind, in his imaginings, to a valley of dry bones. We're going to read the scripture just now, but I just want to paint a brief picture at the outset to give us an idea. Basically, this valley of dry bones is a picture of the condition of Israel, God's children. At this time, God's children are in a state of devastation. They're in a state of defeat, despair, and hopelessness. And the bones of this valley are a picture of the devastation they're experiencing. A valley which was once a living army, full of life, strength, potential, and purpose, which is now in ruins, scattered with dead, dry bones. It's a picture of God's people who've basically just given up hope. They've let disappointments and setbacks get the better of them and leave them defeated in spirit, and not just that, but far from God. That's a pretty bleak picture, wouldn't you agree, ladies? And it's definitely not a picture that God would want to see. But it's certainly a picture that the enemy would love to see. And you know, it's the same for you and I. As God's children, in ruins, defeated in spirit, and hopeless, there's nothing more the enemy would love to see. That disappointment and pain in our lives are too far gone. There's been too much destruction that's taken place, too much division, separation from what seemed promised at one time, and now all we're left with is a pile of dry bones in our hearts and our minds. And just like this tragic picture of dry bones that God showed Ezekiel, ladies, I believe that most of us in the room tonight, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we have at least one or two dry bones. Maybe some of us even have a valley of dry bones. Things that have happened. Some of them terrible, horrific things that have left parts of our soul and minds in a state of despair and hopelessness. But as God's precious children, just like with Israel, he does not want to leave us in this condition. Can you say amen tonight? He wants to take our dry bones and he wants to breathe new life into them and turn our seemingly hopeless state into one of possibility of new life. So I've called tonight's message, Life in Your Bones. I came across a quote by a chap called Norman Cousins. He was a world peace advocate. And he says this, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside us while we live. That's pretty deep. That's pretty profound. And, you know, I think it's so true. To be alive, but to be feeling as if you're dead on the inside. I want to look at two contrasting conditions of pain before we read the text tonight. You ready? You're all still good. So the first condition of pain is one that everybody can see. The kind of pain is not likely to lead to despair or devastation because you can't ignore it. And so what we do is we attend to it, we address it to get it on the mend as quickly as possible. Think, for example, of a broken foot. I had one of those. It's pretty obvious when you see someone hobbling along in their moon boots and swinging their crutches, as I used to do because I couldn't get the knack of it, that there's a problem, right? Just this last week, I had to deal with an extremely painful condition that other people could see. My daughter Chloe came home from school with every mother's worst nightmare. A boyfriend? No. Far worse. She came home with lice. And she has a head of hair down to her bottom. The longest hair with the finest strands of hair. We got a call from school, come fetch her, because in their words, they are excellent nitpickers and have found that there are nits in her hair. Just the call you want to get. And so 8 hours of nitpicking later, I am convinced the enemy is on a course to distract me, because all this time that I am picking out nits and lice from my daughter's hair is the time I'm supposed to be spending preparing this message. But then I remembered the word of God tells us that he works all things together for good. Amen. It says, yes, amen. It says that which the enemy intends to harm us, God will turn around for our good. And it dawned on me, there was a lesson in the lice. This is the lesson. You see, the thing about lice, like the broken foot, it's a problem you cannot ignore. It's revolting to deal with, but you have no choice. You can't pretend it's not there. You know that if you put it off, it will only get worse. And so who? Mom and Dad, out of their unconditional and devoted love, come to the rescue and pick nits to sort it out as quickly and as painlessly as possible. Chloe was a victim in this case, but I feel like I was really the victim. You know, salons won't even do it. I have heard that there are people out there called nitpickers, which for an exorbitant amount of money will pick the nits. So I was just thinking, if anyone's looking for a new business venture, there is a bucket load of money to be made down in KZN when that humidity like tends to breed all these kinds of creatures. Maybe just give it a thought. Kind of sounds like I'm having a trauma debrief with you tonight. I sort of am, but I actually have a point. My point is this. Like I said, the problem with a broken foot or a case of lice, you can't turn a blind eye. And as a result, the problem gets dealt with. It gets sorted out, and we all move on with life. But now in contrast, there's a second condition of pain, which is very, very different. Because this kind of pain is the pain that's hidden on the inside. It's the kind of pain that only you and I and God see. Nobody else knows about it. From the outsider's perspective, you look perfectly fine. And come on, girls, we're masters at this. Putting on a brave face, our poker face. Hey, we are so good at hiding the pain inside. I don't know why. Is it pride? Is it shame? Is it lack of wanting to be vulnerable? Or is it the belief that it just can't get fixed, so we just live with it? Well, the thing is, when we've chosen to ignore it because we think we can, the thing is, just like the lice left unattended, it only gets worse. It doesn't go away until we finally decide to address it. You know, in my new role in Bellito, my main role is pastoral care. And I speak to so many ladies who from the outside look strong and put together and successful. And yet when they come to me and I hear their story, I discover just how absolutely broken they actually are on the inside. And that facade that they're putting on is just a cover-up for the pain they carry inside. And they put off dealing with the pain for so longer that eventually they can't pretend anymore because things have gotten so bad that the work and the process has to begin. But the thing is, it takes so much longer and it's so much harder than if they had just dealt with it in the first place. A very sad thing a lady said to me recently. She told me that she's been putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound for years. And now she can't pretend or ignore it any longer because of the devastation she feels as a result of leaving the wound to fester for so long. This is the pain we're talking about tonight. This is not a light and fluffy. Yeah. But with the help of God's word, I believe we're going to discover that God wants to take us on a process of healing. And the areas that we feel are hopeless and beyond repair, as we've sung tonight, as we've heard from Pastor Natanya and Kogi, he wants to breathe new life into. Do you believe that tonight? If you don't believe it yet, I believe you will believe it by the end of the message. In Jesus' name. So let's read together from Ezekiel 37. It's a long one. The Lord took hold of me, says Ezekiel, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying, we've become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Amen. I don't know about you, but this passage of scripture, it gives me goosies every single time I read it. There is so much serious gold in this passage of scripture. And tonight, if we're open, I believe we can walk away with some biblical keys to restoring life to things that have kept us in chains, kept us in despair, and are holding us back. Because, ladies, there is nothing too dead that cannot be raised to life. We only need to look at Jesus as a promise of that. Amen. God is the creator and the giver of life, and he can breathe new life into our dead bones. One of the first things I picked up about this valley of bones is that the word says the bones were scattered and covered on the valley floor. Notice it doesn't say the bones were 6 foot under, dead and buried. That picture of them lying on the valley floor is our first key to realizing that God clearly was not done with his children yet. Amen? He was not finished with them, and it's the same for you and I as his daughters, his children. Even if you feel like your dry bones are dead and buried 6 foot under in your soul, God is ready to get digging. He is ready to restore life if you will allow him to do it. So five keys or steps tonight to help us recover the life in our bones. You ready? Looking at the scripture, there is a clear process that God followed to bring the bones back to life. In the first verse, the word says that God took hold of Ezekiel, which is our step one. We need to allow God to take hold of us and acknowledge our dry bones. There are times when he needs to take hold of us, where he needs to literally shake us out of our coma of denial that we are so good at putting ourselves into, in order to show us something that he needs us to see. And we need to allow him to take a hold of us. We need to allow God to put his hands on us. When we feel the Holy Spirit prompting us, perhaps he's been nudging you in your spirit for some time now, nudging you about the same thing over and over again. And each time you're going, no, thank you, not today. Thanks, Holy Spirit, maybe another time. Well, ladies, maybe it's time we start to trust God and we start to trust that his nudges are to help us. And we start to allow him to take us where he needs to take us, trusting that it's for our good and never for our harm. The word goes on to say that this valley was filled, covered with bones, scattered everywhere, and completely dried out. In other words, dead, very dead, deader than dead, dry bones, dead. And then it says, God led him around. Why would God lead him around this awful scene of death? I believe it's because God wanted Ezekiel to see the extent of the devastation and the despair that the people of Israel were in. Because it's important to understand that this degree of hopelessness and despair doesn't take place overnight. Time has to pass, right? From the bones going from being living bones to decaying bones to being dead and dry bones. And it's the same with the areas in our lives that we feel are beyond repair. We've allowed time to pass. And because we've ignored these things and failed to attend to them, the result is our valley of dry bones. But thank God, our Father loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us in a desolate condition. He's wanting to take a hold of us. He wants us to have a look and see and acknowledge the extent of the devastation. Imagine what Ezekiel must have seen. It must have been a completely shocking and disturbing scene. I think in our minds we can underplay it, but when you actually look at a valley of dry bones, and there's a picture that you're going to see, that is scary. That is kind of creepy. That is so full of hopelessness and despair. I mean, to have any hope that that would rise again is incredible, right? It's basically you're looking at an open graveyard. And you can hardly ignore or pretend that that isn't exactly what it is. And that's exactly what God needed Ezekiel to see. And exactly what he needs you and I to see. He needs us to see the reality of the situation. To recognize our dry bones for what they are so that they can be restored. Until we recognize the extent and exactly what they are, he cannot begin that restoration process. And some of us are going to see some things that we've been trying not to see for the longest time. Some of the things we see will be a result of our own making. And perhaps even harder to face. Some of us have been an innocent target in a fallen world in which we live. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you were raped or abused, a victim of crime, bullied or cheated or abandoned. Maybe you lost loved ones or many loved ones. Well, there's a multitude of things that can happen to us in life. And because of the fear of revisiting the pain, we keep saying to God, no, thank you. I'm used to these dry bones. In fact, now it's my normal. But God wants to take us like Ezekiel. He wants to lead us through the valley of death. And he will walk with us. He will stand alongside us. So we don't need to be afraid. Which brings us to the second part of the process. In verse 3, the word says, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? God is asking us to have faith to believe that he can bring the dead to life. In other words, imagine the unimaginable. Believe that the impossible is possible for God because he's the maker and giver of life and our hope for everything if we dare to believe it. He wants to know that we're ready to believe our marriage can be restored, our shame can be removed once and for all, our pain can be removed, our lost family member can come back to Christ, our bodies and minds can be healed and whole once again, that dream that once seemed so alive, which now seems so dead, can come back to life. In him, the answer is always yes. Yes, it can be restored and can come back to life. Just quickly, if you're here in the room tonight and you've been praying for a baby, maybe you've been waiting a long time, I want to encourage you because I had a dry bone of infertility, which left me very disappointed. And I had a choice whether to accept the doctor's negative report and hold on to my bone of disappointment, or I had the opportunity to take a chance and to trust God. And this past week, I had the privilege of delousing my Chloe Rose, my miracle child, who today turns 7. And I know countless other ladies who can testify to the same thing. So don't give up. Don't give up. The next thing God says to Ezekiel is to speak. Speak to your bones. It says, he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones. Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Not this is what the doctor says, what my shame says, what my mother, my teacher, my abusive ex-husband says. No, listen to what he says. Amen. The thing about deep devastation and pain and shame is that it usually leads us to silence. And in our silence, we are actually chained. We're locked in our own prison. And God wants to break the silence, and he wants us to start to speak life over our lives and over our chains again. And you know the amazing thing that happens when we start to speak his life-giving words, the word of the Lord, and when we start to share our dry bones, our sisters feel encouraged and safe to be able to share these too. And so as we talk about these things and bring them out into the light, God is able to begin that restorative work and bring them back to life. We're in this together, girls, with Jesus. And it's not our girlfriends, like we heard earlier. It's not our husbands, it's not our life coach, our psychologist, or even our pastor, but it's God who's going to bring us back to life. He will use our friends and our pastors, but it's he who has the power. The same power that conquered the grave lives in you and I as Christians. And it's a process. He talks about putting flesh and muscles on us. That means rebuilding us, strengthening us, restoring us, and reconnecting the broken pieces. But it's a process. As we said, we didn't get there overnight. So we need to be prepared to go the journey of the process, even if it seems a long time in coming, and even if it is painful. What does Ezekiel do next? Very simply, he obeys. And we need to do the same. Obey the instructions of the Lord. The word says in verse 7, so I spoke this message, how? Just as he told me. And that's when suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley and things started to happen. As he obeyed, notice Ezekiel says, I spoke this message just as he told me. Not my interpretation of it or my friend's interpretation of it, but just as he told me. And as we begin to obey God's instructions and look to him for our healing and begin to speak life and believe, we will begin to see our healing take place in Jesus' name. And I love the fact that the word says the bones became complete skeletons. Because when God does a work in us, he's not a God of half measures. He didn't create a half a skeleton. No, he created a complete skeleton. When he knits us back together, he's going to do it to completion, ladies. The most incredible thing of all is that when God restores us, when he heals our hope and hopelessness, when he removes our shame and defeat and starts to reclothe us with life-giving skin, he does it, why? To take us into the purposes that he has for us. The last part of the vision is this. God restores the life in our bones to build his army. The word says of Ezekiel, so I spoke the message as he commanded me and breath came into their bodies. They all, not just some, came to life, stood up on their feet, a great army. You see, the purpose of our new life, the result and the reason for following God's process that we've looked at tonight is so that when our dry bones have been brought back to life and we've received his breath, his spirit, we take our rightful place, which is in his army for his purpose to be outworked in his life. It says, his children were not just able to stand again. It'd be great if they were just able to stand again, complete and with skin and all of that. He says, no, not just able to stand again, but to be an army that is ready to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's what he's calling you and I to do, to build ourselves up, to become an army so that we can make a difference in our worlds. Amen. And advance the kingdom of God with his spirit in us. He is the Father who brings the lost home back to him. And in place of our dry bones, he can give us new life, ladies. He can give us hope. He can give us the healing we need, the mercy, the grace, the strength, the wholeness for all of us that are in Jesus Christ. I hope that's helped you tonight. In closing, I want to share a quick personal story, which I believe God took me on a process which is very much like the process that we've looked at tonight, even though I didn't really realize it at the time. Quite recently, I felt God nudging me to look at an area of my life that was a dry bone, a place in my heart that was filled with disappointment, defeat, and despair. And I went to a place in my heart that I don't go very often because it's one of those places that is really just hard to face. But for whatever reason, I allowed God to show me something which was actually quite a disturbing realization. God showed me that I had a really big dry bone in my life which I had been ignoring and refusing to deal with for 30-something years of my 42-year-old life. That's a long time to carry a dry bone. And the reason for my dry bone of disappointment was the death of my mom, but not just the death of my mom, it was the failure for me to have closure to what had happened. Some of you may know that shortly after I turned 7, my mom died very suddenly. And my father's way of dealing with the loss is not one that I would encourage you to use. And don't get me wrong, I love him, it's a thing of the past, I adore my father. But he didn't give my siblings and I an opportunity to acknowledge the pain, to grieve, to acknowledge the loss, and to process it, and even to say goodbye to our mother. There was a funeral, yes. But the only reason I know there was a funeral is because friends of mine went and told me about it. My siblings and I didn't go to the funeral. The morning following the afternoon that my mom died, I was woken up, got ready, and was taken to school, as you do when the central person in your life has just died. You go to school the next day. Basically, life just carried on as if nothing had happened, and nobody ever spoke about her again. What does a 7-year-old child do with this? Nothing. I didn't know how to deal with this. How did I process it? Well, I didn't. How did I grieve or say goodbye to my mother and find closure? I didn't. And God showed me that I'd been living with the disappointment, sense of abandonment because I never said goodbye, and the devastation of the loss of my mom and the lack of opportunity to say goodbye and receive closure for pretty much my whole life. And as if this loss had happened yesterday, that 7-year-old little girl with her big dry bone of disappointment was with me every day. I was so used to living with this deeply hurt little girl, her pain and her loss, little Claire, who was robbed of the chance to say goodbye to her mother, that I hadn't even realized that it was and had been affecting my whole life. You see, when you carry something like that around with you, your whole outlook is subtly tainted. You don't even realize it, but that disappointment and despair leads you to seeing yourself in a different way, to seeing others in a different way, a way that is tainted. You see life in a different way. You see your dreams and your future in a different way. You even see God in a different way, not in the way that He would have you see the world and your life. And on that day of revelation, I felt God clearly tell me, Claire, it's time. It's time to say goodbye to your mom. I don't know, maybe I wasn't ready until that day. I don't know why God chose that day, but He spoke to me loud and clear. And during that time, I felt the Holy Spirit's presence, and the Holy Spirit was literally preparing me. As you read in Ezekiel, I was being prepared for what I was about to do, what I was going to face and acknowledge and then do, which was to say goodbye to my mother, which was a very hard thing to do, and I needed courage from the Holy Spirit. And as I got ready to do this, I actually remembered some of the good times that we had shared together, which I'd long since forgotten, because all I remembered was the pain. And I realized that in the midst of the disappointment and the loss, there were actually many wonderful moments, many memories that I could be grateful for. And in that moment, I had to choose to believe God and to believe that He could release me from the pain that I've been holding on to, because it was only by believing Him that I would be prepared to go to that very dry bone, that place of deep pain. I had to begin to speak to my soul, the word of the Lord, the promises of God over my life, just like He told Ezekiel to do to the dry bones. Even though I'd suffered a great loss, His desire for me was not to live with that dry bone another minute longer, but to give me new life. Amen. To make me strong again, whole again, strong enough to be used in His army, used to my full potential. And in obedience, like Ezekiel had to do, I felt God telling me to thank my mom for my life. She brought me into this world. Thank you for nurturing me and loving me and for our time together. And then I said goodbye. Not forever, but for now, for this lifetime. And girls, if I can tell you in that moment, the sense of release that God gave me from that dry bone, the presence of the Holy Spirit breathing life into my soul. I feel it still today. It wasn't an emotional thing. It wasn't a temporary thing. It was literally a release, a letting go. New breath in my bones. In my mind's eye, in my imagination, I saw a balloon floating up to the heavens. It was so beautiful. And with that balloon was the pain of the loss of my mom, the disappointment, the devastation, and any other negative connotation that had gone with that dry bone. I saw it floating gently up into the heavens, far, far and away, until I couldn't see it anymore. And my soul has felt peace since that day. Now I'm ready to deal with the other dry bones in my life. But I want you to see that there's a pattern. And you too, if you're willing to trust God, just like I had to do, wasn't easy. Wasn't easy at all. But I had to trust God that what He was going to do was for my good, not to harm me, to make me whole again, to raise me up, to take me into the purposes and the plans that He has for me. And He has those plans and purposes for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future, amen. Plans where you see yourself standing up on your feet as an army, as a girl, warrior chick, ready to go ahead with the things of God, not living with your dry bones. And I understand that many of you have got some hideous, horrific dry bones that others of us couldn't even imagine. But God can heal those too. He can heal those too if you just be willing to give Him a chance and follow the process. And the thing is, when we become whole, and when we step into our rightful position in God's army and take our place that He has prepared for us, the whole world can see that God has been at work, because it is only God that can restore the dead to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Girls, I hope you've been encouraged tonight. It's a serious topic, but I really just felt in my heart that we need to go there. We need to go to those places. And so I pray that as you go into the week, that you would really just ponder. Read Ezekiel 37 again. Let it speak deep into your soul. Ask God to nudge you. He does it gently. He loves you. He doesn't want to shake you to hurt you or freak you out. He wants to do it to help you, to take you forward in the things of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.